Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 116. I'm your host, the Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my elusive co-host for the week, Too Hot, Scott Michella.
Back from outer space, I'm here.
That's right, he's returned once again.
Thanks for having me on, Chris. This is great.
Sure thing. Glad to have you back for this sort of special edition episode. Yeah, we just did our last episode not too terribly long ago, but because of the holidays coming up, they're going to kind of mess up with my recording schedule and the fact that there were a couple of really cool new releases in the last couple of days. I thought, hey, let's see if I can squeeze in another episode before it's too late.
Yeah, that's great. And I come completely unprepared, so I'm excited to hear about the games you've been playing.
Yeah, so we've got some new games to discuss, a little tiny bit of news to talk about, and then this week's big topic, which is all about Nintendo 3DS games that could add new life to the system. Before we get to that, however, let's start by talking about a new game that just came out on the 3DS, Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. I was a big fan of Pokemon Sun and Moon when they came out last year, so I absolutely had to get this. Scott, did you get Sun and Moon? And if so, what did you think?
No, I didn't. The last Pokemon game I picked up was Pokemon XY.
Ah, okay.
And I didn't play it enough to make it worth my while to pick up Sun and Moon. I guess I just don't get Pokemon. I'm sorry. I was in college when Pokemon came out. I'm not the target audience for any Nintendo products, obviously. Pokemon I just missed. So, yeah, how do you feel about Pokemon? Because I have no nostalgia associated with Pokemon. I think if there were some nostalgia there, I might pick these games up and just play them.
Well, the reason that Pokemon is so popular is because, you know, at its core, it is a really good, solid game and a great introduction to RPG mechanics. And, you know, I don't play, you know, every Pokemon game from start to finish, but I was absolutely in love with Sun and Moon, and it really changed things up in some great ways. I love the new tropical environments. I loved all the new Pokemon critters. Mm-hmm. I loved some of the new convenience features. So it was a very exciting game. And if you haven't played a Pokemon game in a long time, you know, I would have said, you know, that's totally the one to get. So, you know, I was pretty excited that they're coming back with Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. And so I got it. I started playing it yesterday, and I ended up being somewhat disappointed to discover that it's pretty much just a director's cut of the game that came out last year. Mm. I thought it was going to be a new story in the same environment, but it's pretty much the same game, only with a few new things added. And those new added things do not include brand new Pokemon.
Oh, that's a real shame. What did you expect, though? What did you expect out of this?
Well, I expected it would be, you know, the same environments, but maybe a new character going on a new adventure.
Okay.
It's probably my fault for not paying more attention to, you know, Nintendo's promotion and stuff for the game. But I was kind of trying to stay spoiler-free, and apparently I stayed so spoiler-free, I did not realize what kind of game I was getting, you know? This is basically like Pokemon Yellow or Pokemon Crystal, where they just add in a handful of new things. But at least I tried to make the experience as different as possible from the previous game. So whereas I went with Pokemon Sun for the previous version, this time I went with Ultra Moon. Mm-hmm. This time I picked a female character instead of a guy. And this time I went with Rowlet, the owl, as my starter instead of Litten, the fire cat. Mm-hmm. Litten is way cooler and way better than Rowlet, by the way.
And no love for that dumb seal thing? Well,
he just looks too weird for me. I mean, the reason I went with Rowlet is because you know, his evolved form, Decidueye, was pretty cool in Pokken tournaments. So I thought, okay, you know, I'll go for that. But so far, he has not been nearly as useful as Litten was.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's pretty much the same game. You're still going on these island challenges. You're trying to travel to all the islands in the Alola region, defeat the Kahunas, and help out this girl named Lily and her mysterious Pokemon. And I have finished the first island, but it's like 90% the same game. There are new things like these weird Ultra Recon team characters who show up and act like they're, you know, robots from another planet or something, and you get to fight against them and see some new cutscenes with them. And then there's also the photo club where you can pose with your Pokemon and then decorate the photos, but that's pretty meh, at least for me.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some people who love it, but it's not really up my alley. And then at the end of the first island, normally you take a boat to the next area, but in this version of the game, you can go Mantine surfing. You know, it's a big manta ray Pokemon, and it's a fairly involved mini game where you you know, go up and down the waves and perform fancy tricks, and that's kind of interesting, at least.
Hmm.
You can also find and collect totem stickers that are scattered about, which you can then exchange for powered-up totem Pokemon, which were in the original Sun and Moon, but they couldn't be in your party. And so this time they can be in your party, and the first one that you can get is a Raticate, and I'm a big fan of the Raticate for I don't know what reason. Big furry rodent, kind of like a capybara, I suppose. So you could say I'm a fan, so yay, that'll be my first one, but I still have a whole lot more stickers to collect before you can get that.
So was there a feature where you could bring in your Pokemon from previous versions of the game? And could you bring in Pokemon from, like, Sun, Moon, the first version?
I'm sure you can, but, you know, I don't really want to deplete my save file from that game and bring all that stuff in.
Yeah.
And of course, if you get traded Pokemon, you know, you can't control them as well, so it's better to try to catch and raise your own Pokemon. Otherwise, you have to worry about your badge level, then, oh, they won't obey you and stuff like that. So I think I could do that, but I'm not really planning to.
Gotcha.
And apparently there are a lot more other new features that I just haven't got to yet. There are new Z moves, there's a new way to scan for rare Pokemon, and there's more story involving the evil legendary from Sun and Moon, Necrozma, plus like all the villains from past Pokemon games return, and so do all the legendaries. I haven't encountered any of that yet since I'm still, you know, fairly early in. I'm only like, you know, maybe 5 hours or something.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe once I see all that, I will change my mind. But right now, I feel like I'm just playing a slightly enhanced version of the game that came out a year ago. And I'm not sure that's what I want to be doing with my time, especially not for a full $40.
And are they even, you can't even get Pokemon Sun Moon, the original version anymore on the shelves, can you?
Oh, they're certainly available.
Oh, they are.
No, you can totally go and buy that. However, if you are new to this, I would not say to get those versions. I mean, there are a couple reasons to get this game. First of all, if you loved Sun and Moon and don't mind paying full price for a game that's mostly the same, then that's great. I only loved it. I didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm not sure I'm the right audience. But then if you've never played Sun and Moon, then this is totally the version to get because it has all these extra things thrown in, plus pretty much the original game. So, you know, for someone like you, Scott, who hasn't played Sun and Moon, and, you know, if you're thinking, well, maybe I do want to give this another try, then yes, totally get Ultra Sun or Ultra Moon, because, like I said, it was a revelation as far as Pokemon goes, and this version is slightly better. It's just that, you know, in the position I'm in, it's like, you know, there's a lot of recycled stuff. It took a game that felt really, really fresh to me, and, you know, made it not fresh, so that's kind of my complaint with it.
Gotcha. And it's completely in 2D, right?
I guess there's like a little tiny bit of 3D. At least there was in the original Sun and Moon. But yeah, like 99.99% of the game is in 2D.
Yeah.
When you're fighting, when you're exploring, there's just like a couple little scenes that are 3D.
Yeah, we never got a 3D Pokemon game, really.
No. We did not get a game that took advantage of stereoscopic 3D in the mainline Pokemon series.
Yeah.
So I'm going to keep playing probably, but I'm not sure this game was the best use of my video game funds.
There's your $40. I'm guessing you can sell it, or I don't know. I was going to say at least you got some Club Nintendo points out of it, but...
Nope, not anymore. If only.
Bah.
Anyway, that is not the only new release that I was playing. I also tried out, very briefly, a new game for the Nintendo Switch, and that is Skyrim from the Elder Scrolls series.
Right on. Is this a game you would have played or picked up if you weren't hosting this show?
Well, it's a game I've heard a lot of great things about, you know, over the last several years, so it's something I've always wanted to try. I mean, I'm much more of a fan of Japanese-style RPGs than Western RPGs, and I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of the first-person perspective all the time, but I've always been very curious about it, so I have been wanting to try it out.
Yeah.
And hooray, I finally have. And my first impression of this game is, boy oh boy, it is a lot of watching story unfold at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, you're just sitting around in this wagon, watching people chat back and forth, and I'm like, man, this just seems like it's going on forever. It just felt like it took, you know, 20 minutes or something before I got to move my own character.
Yep.
And I wasn't in love with the looks of the characters. All the textures kind of seemed ugly. And, you know, it feels like, you know, maybe they had to cut some corners in this game to get it on Switch compared to the other current generation consoles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know this game exists on PS4, But, you know, what about on PS3? Does this look more like the PS3 version than the PS4 version? I don't really have anything to compare it to.
Yeah.
Have you ever played this game in any form? What do you think?
I haven't. My wife played it and played, like, maybe 80 or 90 hours. So she completed most of the game.
So she loved it, huh?
Yeah, she really enjoyed it. And a lot of people put a lot of time in this game.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard people absolutely loving this thing.
So if you're the kind of person that will go, you know, play Breath of the Wild for another 50, 60 hours, I'm guessing there's enough here for you to keep you entertained because it's, you know, it's an open world game. Quoting my wife, it's not as good as Breath of the Wild. I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, so far it doesn't seem to be for me.
But yeah, it's an action RPG and there's dragons. How
yes,
could you not
are.
Enjoy that?
Yeah, once I got to take control of my character, that's what I was dealing with. I was dealing with big old dragon destroying everything. And then I'm trying to escape from that and running through corridors and underground passages and caverns. And I have to say, one thing I did like about the game is that it had very extensive character customization options.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be male or female. You could choose to be an ugly normal human, an ugly elf, an ugly lizard man, ugly cat people. I end up being an ugly cat person.
Oh,
ugly
fun.
Cat lady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I definitely, if I find the time to play this game, I'm going to pick it up just because I think it's a game I would enjoy. I like RPGs and I like questing and I like, you know, talking to a random villager and then having to go to slay some enemy or some bad guy, you know, two towns over because they were wronged in some way. And that's very much what this game is. It's very similar to Breath of the Wild in that, you know, you're going to meet random people and you're going to get a side quest. And if you choose to do zero side quests, you're not going to get your money's worth out of this game.
Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, it's very extensive, lots to see, lots to do. You know, playing it for only, you know, 30 or 45 minutes like I did, you know, there's, you know, I'm barely scratching the surface, but you know, I did get to appreciate just a little bit that you have this vast freedom of the actions you can take.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I did make my way to the first village with this guy who I escaped the dragon with. And because I'm a cat person, I said, oh, look, a chicken. I'm going to have to kill and eat this chicken. And, you know, that might not have been the smartest decision in this cat person's life because, you know, something went bad and the whole village turned on us. And I got to say, I really appreciate the partner I escaped with because he was willing to lay down his life for me right then and there and started hacking up these villagers because I killed a chicken. But it did not take very long before both of us got slaughtered. And that was the horrible end of my journey and my introduction to Skyrim. So that's how that all went down.
And this version of Skyrim comes with all the DLC that's in the other releases. So that's nice. So you don't have to buy the DLC.
Cool.
It just comes packed in. So that's like a, I don't know, 20 more bucks worth of game you're getting. Obviously it's a 4-year-old, 5-year-old game, but if you haven't played it, it's new to you. It's going to be new to me.
Yeah, it's got that exclusive Zelda content, the exclusive Zelda Breath of the Wild outfits that you can put on.
Oh, that's fun. So you can pretend you're playing a Zelda game.
Yeah, although so far the game is only first person. I heard there's a way to switch to a third person view, but I hadn't discovered it yet.
I'm 100% certain you can see yourself in third person because I saw my wife playing it that way. But maybe on the Switch it's not possible. But I think in the beginning,
well,
during the story mode at least, I know that it's first person and you're not in third person when you're watching the cinematics.
Anyway, I wasn't 100% sold on the game, but you know, it was definitely very interesting. And despite my complaints about the visuals, I would very much like to play more.
And I think I'll pick this one up. Not anytime soon, because I still have to get through Galaxy, Odyssey, and I still have to finish Breath of the Wild. For some reason, I just not looking forward to finishing Breath of the Wild. I don't want it to be over. I know we have DLC that we're going to have.
Yeah, we got more DLC coming soon.
So, yeah.
And maybe I will pick it up eventually as well. But speaking of awesome Nintendo games, there was just a little tiny bit of news I wanted to touch on, and that is the sales numbers for October. Did you hear about how Nintendo did in October?
Yeah, so correct me if I'm wrong. I was reading something like the Switch and the 3DS outsold, so they're the number one and number two consoles sold.
No, the Switch was number one, but number two was the Super NES Classic.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry, it wasn't 3DS, it was the SNES Classic. So they beat out the PlayStation 4, the Xbox One X or whatever they're calling that new Xbox One. Although were these just Japan numbers or this worldwide?
I believe it is US. This data comes from the NPD.
Okay, wow. Wow. That's really impressive. I don't see a huge value proposition with that new Xbox, only if you have a 4K TV. How many people out there really have one yet? So yeah, this is great news for Nintendo. I knew this was going to sound gangbusters. My sister's family, they're going to buy, hopefully he's not listening to this podcast, they're buying their six-year-old a Switch for Christmas.
Oh, very
nice. So
this
is like, I mean, they asked me, they're like, hey, you're the expert. What should we get the kid for Christmas? He loves Mario. He loves Zelda. And I said, well, he has a DSi and he plays tons of games on that. And I said, mm-hmm. the 3DS is a great option, but I think if you want him to be playing like the latest and greatest, and when he's going to be playing this when he's 7 and 8 years old, and that was about the time that I started really getting into playing video games, I would have killed to be playing on a real console like the Switch. Even though I love the 3DS a ton, I recommended the Switch mainly because of, you know, Mario Kart. You have this cross play and you can hand your Joy-Con over to somebody else and now two people can play. And that's not something you could do with a 3DS really. So yeah.
That is true. That is true. But yeah, I mean, I feel like these sale numbers are very, very well deserved. And then Super Mario Odyssey, even though it was released on the 27th, pretty much the end of the month, it ended up being the number one selling game for the month, which is, again, pretty awesome. I'm not sure if that counts like combined multi-platform SKUs, but either way, it is still very impressive.
Yeah, I can't. I'm assuming it's going to have the same attach rate as Breath of the Wild is. I think the people that bought a Switch bought this system to play the new Zelda game, to play the new Mario game. So, I expect it to continue to sell well. And the holiday season is just going to be, if you haven't bought a Switch now and you're planning on getting one either for yourself or as a gift, buy it now. They're going to, they're actually doing really well about keeping these things in stock. I'm seeing them in stores when I go, but
yeah, totally.
I don't expect that to continue through the holiday season. They're going to run low.
Yeah. I imagine a week or two into December, these things will start to be pretty tough to get. But mostly I just wanted to give a shout-out to Nintendo and say congrats on the big sales numbers.
Yeah, I think the industry is, again, going to be playing catch-up with Nintendo, which is crazy because everybody writes Nintendo off constantly. And, you know, they come out with some wacky thing and people are like, that's not going to work. Who's going to buy this underpowered system? I was one of those naysayers. I was like, why is Nintendo building a platform on this old hardware? And people don't care. They want a portable system to play a Zelda or a Mario game on. So,
yep, absolutely. All right, let's take a little intermission, and then when we come back, we will discuss this week's big topic, which is games that could breathe new life into the Nintendo 3DS. All right, we are back and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is games that could breathe new life into the Nintendo 3DS. As we were talking about earlier, Nintendo has just released Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon, and while these are not exactly the last games that Nintendo has announced for the 3DS, it kind of seems like they have unloaded the last big gun in their arsenal. We know that they have Kirby Battle Royale coming out in January. We know there's still some third-party games that are coming out. But for the most part, it feels like Nintendo has released almost everything they have told us about, and it's like, you know, what's going to happen next? You know, I was kind of surprised when they still announced a bunch of new 3DS games for 2017, and we got cool stuff like the remake of Mario and Luigi, and we got that excellent Metroid game. But now I'm kind of left here thinking, are they going to continue this, or are they going to let the stream dry up and just focus on Nintendo Switch? However, if they were to continue with the 3DS, I thought, what could some games be that they could release or convince third parties to release that could breathe some new life back into the system the way that Metroid Samus Returns did.
I love this system, so I'm hoping we can come up with some good ideas here.
I think we've got some. More importantly, I hope that Nintendo has some good ideas to continue to keep this thing going. But the first one I've got is a game that, you know, I feel like should have come out on Nintendo handheld systems long, long ago, and that is a new Punch-Out game.
Hmm, that's a good one. I would even just go for a direct port of the Wii game. How about you?
Well, that could be one way to do it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that has always bugged me a little bit, and that is when Punch-Out came out in the arcade, it had two screens. Yet, for all of Nintendo's dual-screen systems, the DS, the 3DS, mm-hmm. the Wii U, they have not had anything that took advantage of the dual screens. So I just think it would be awesome to finally do that, to let, you know, Punch-Out as it was in its original arcade form, you know, sort of have some of those concepts live on if they did it in a 3DS version.
Yeah.
You know, one screen, it probably wouldn't be anything too impressive. It would just be, you know, scores and stats and mm-hmm. stuff like the original arcade game did. And the other screen would have the action, and that would be in full 3D. And it's also a game I think would lend itself really, really well to stereoscopic 3D. So between those two things, I think that would be an excellent choice to have a comeback on the 3DS, no pun intended. Plus, it's just one of those series that you know, is still just kind of sitting there. They haven't done much with in a while, and you know, has not been on 3DS except in virtual console form.
Yeah, I love the Wii Punch-Out, and I was surprised to not see it on the Wii U, and now I'm going to be, you know, really bummed if it doesn't. If this doesn't happen, or we get something on the Switch. I know they're giving us the original Punch-Out on Switch.
Yeah, the arcade version.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a shame. A lot of missed opportunities on the 3DS, and this is just one of them.
Yeah, it's definitely something that would be a lot of fun if they chose to do that. Do you have any suggestions yourself of stuff you like to see?
You know, I hate to say it because I think people would think, oh, this is why I don't want another. But they built these engines for A Link Between Worlds and 3D Land. Why couldn't they just use those engines to make us new levels, either DLC or all new games? I would play another Link Between Worlds with
would be awesome.
Similar dungeons, but you know, maybe some different power-ups. But it doesn't feel like they'd have to rewrite the game if they the game in a way that, you know, made it modular. But yeah, that or something like a Zelda Maker for the 3DS, I think.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool,
too. That'd be
really
great. But yeah, but Punch-Out, I would put above all those, to be honest. It would be an instant buy for me, for sure.
Well, I have to say, I would totally be up for another Zelda using that engine. I mean, it's kind of funny because, you know, that was a sequel to A Link to the Past, so then this would be like, you know, A Link to the Past Part 3 or something.
Yeah.
But hey, there's nothing wrong with that. It's one of the best Zelda games of all time. And it does kind of seem like a shame to not use that engine again for another full-blown adventure. I mean, they probably used that same engine for Triforce Heroes, but Triforce Heroes ended up kind of being very underwhelming.
Yep, it was. I would even go in for a just a remastered Link to the Past using that engine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
in 3D,
that would be a great idea.
I would love that. And that, I think, would require even less work. I don't know. But it's probably a ton of work. But, they're Nintendo.
They're all over that.
They're printing money right now.
I mean, if they're going to give us an enhanced version of Superstar Saga that required completely, you know, redrawn graphics, why not just use that engine and give us a 3D version of Link to the Past? That'd be great. That does seem like low-hanging fruit, totally.
And then here's something that would really do it for me. If you said, pay Nintendo, and then we brought this up before, but $10 a month or something to have access to the entire back catalog of NES and SNES first-party titles. I wouldn't even need the third-party stuff that would have to wheel and deal. You know, a lot. I would probably, you know, for the GBA, the Game Boy, the Game Boy Color, the NES and the SNES, and those are all systems that will play on the 3DS emulated. I think if they gave us a completely unlimited access to those games, this is a system I would take with me wherever I go all the time for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I don't really see that happening, considering how they're like killing Miiverse, and you know, it seems like their online support is going away. But you brought up something very interesting, and that is Game Boy Advance and DS titles. And that's something that I think they still could do, and could still have a massive back catalog that would probably require very little work on their part to bring all that stuff onto the 3DS. I mean, we know it's possible because, you know, the GBA games were given out as the ambassador bonuses, and a couple DS games were available as various means. But yeah, that's something they could do so much more with and could add a whole lot of value to the system that, you know, for some reason they haven't done yet. So yeah, that's a very, very good point. Going back to, you know, possible new games they could bring out, though, my next suggestion is one that, you know, I think we've kind of touched on before in the past, but I would love to see a new Pokemon Snap, and it just seems so obvious. It's like, why 3D. Has this not happened yet? Yeah, it seems like having it in 3D would be great. You know, having the motion controls would be great. And, you know, that's still something that would be possible on Switch, but, you know, it wouldn't be in 3D, and you wouldn't have the two screens to, you know, add value to it. So I feel like this could be a really, really great game if they wanted to make it on 3DS. Obviously, this is all pie-in-the-sky long-shot stuff, so I don't think it's going to happen, but I think it would be a great game and obvious choice to add more to that system.
It's funny, Nintendo is one of those few companies out there that's really making money selling hardware, and the software is, you know, the gravy, but they really are in the hardware business still.
Yep.
And so they'll make the games for as long as it makes sense for them to be selling the hardware. Once they've really saturated the market with the hardware and people have bought their third and fourth 3DS and they're not going to buy anymore, that's when they stop making the games, because it's not as profitable as making this dirt cheap hardware and marking it up, you know, 100%. Yeah, so it's sad. The games we're talking about we're very likely not going to get. And it's a shame because...
Well, we'll see. You know, we don't know what their plans are.
No, That's true.
Like I said, I didn't expect it to happen this year. Yeah. So, you know, what will happen next year?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But if there is more support, another one I think would be really great to get would be some more Final Fantasy titles.
Yeah, I agree. What did we get? We just got that Final Fantasy, like, kids game, right? What was that called?
Oh, I forget what it's called. But yeah, there were a couple non-mainline Final Fantasy games, you know, going really old school as far as their concepts go. But, you know, Nintendo has worked very closely with Square Enix to bring out a lot of games, a lot of Dragon Quest games, obviously Bravely Default. So I'm thinking it would be really cool as if they got together with Square and said, hey, let's bring out some games that have never been on Nintendo systems before from mainline Final Fantasy and just do some more or less direct ports of Final Fantasy 7, 8, and 9.
Yeah.
I think that would absolutely rock. It would probably require fairly few resources, and people would probably go bananas to be able to play these games again on Nintendo systems.
Yeah, I agree. What was the Final Fantasy fans are going to kill me. What was the PlayStation 1 game, the Final Fantasy 7?
Yeah, Final Fantasy 7 was the big one.
I mean, that would be really special on the 3DS.
I mean, that was the one that, you know, when they gave up supporting Nintendo, you know, 6 was on Super NES, 7 was when they made the jump to PlayStation. And, you know, I've even heard a rumor that they were considering bringing 7 out on the Nintendo DS. So if they were to somehow revive that plan and bring it to the more capable hardware of the Nintendo 3DS, I think it would make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
And even in the system's twilight years would, again, sell like gangbusters.
Yeah. The World Ends With You, was that Square Enix as well?
Yeah, yes it was.
That would be fun, even if we just re-got The World Ends With You and sequel for the 3DS.
Yeah, just a 3D enhanced port would be great for that one.
I'm still shocked that they haven't come. Maybe it was a cult hit or something and nobody played it, but I played it and loved it, and I think I would love to see that on the 3DS.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly very beloved, and to do something like just a 3D enhanced port wouldn't require a lot of expenditures, so that is something that could make sense. And even if the game didn't meet their expectations, it could be like, oh, well, here's just another way to, you know, make some profit from this title.
Yeah.
With a quick and dirty 3D enhanced port. Yeah, that's a good one too.
Or just a a hastily thrown together Chrono Trigger with some 3D layers. You know, if Sega could do it with Sonic, couldn't Square Enix do it with the Chrono Trigger or The World Ends With You?
That's a good point. You know, maybe they could hire the folks at M2 that made those great 3D enhanced Sega games and, you know, give us some great 3D enhanced Square games. That'd be cool.
Yep.
Another game I would love to see when we're talking about third-party titles, and this is, again, I know a game I've brought up in the past, would be a revival of Steel Battalion for a couple of reasons. One, a first-person mech sim in stereoscopic 3D I think would look awesome. I think that would add a whole lot to the believability and the atmosphere of a game like that is seeing stuff in stereoscopic 3D.
I agree. And you put all the really complicated controls on that lower screen.
Exactly.
Because the game is known for that wacky controller that you use to play it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that touchscreen, you could cram a lot in there, and you could probably fit like 3 panels worth of tank controls on that bottom screen by just, you know, swiping through it. So,
right.
Seems like a natural to me too. And I know it's hard to develop games, but this just seems like money left on the table for some of these companies.
And even if it's not Steel Battalion, you know, maybe some brand new original mech game that uses those ideas, they could just do that. You know, it could be a Nintendo original, and that would be really, really fun as well.
Yeah.
The last third-party title I wanted to bring up would be a potential revival of Sega's Knights. And that's a series that I've always been a fan of. I loved it when it was on the Saturn. I was very happy with it when it came back on Wii. And I think it's a game that maybe could also find a home on the 3DS. If you're viewing things from a 2D perspective, I could see how the touch controls could be really, really good for that. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of it is following, you know, these set paths. And if you could use the touch screen and, you know, kind of like in Kirby's Canvas Curse, you know, sort of draw the path you're going to be traveling, mm-hmm. I think that could be really interesting and a kind of a new play mechanic for the series, but something that would make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. So that game did make the leap to 3D, right? That did have like on the Saturn or something. Was it in 3D or was it 2D with pre-rendered graphics? I'm forgetting.
It was certainly in a 3D environment, yes.
It was in the 3D, but it wasn't, it didn't make the leap to 3D. It wasn't like, it didn't make it to the next generation, did it?
There were ports. There were HD ports. There was Xbox 360 and a PlayStation 3 version of the original Knights. Mm. It did come back in that way, but there have been 2 original games in the series so far, that being, you know, the first one on Saturn and then that new version on Wii.
Gotcha. And they were both side-scrolling platformers.
Platforms is kind of a weird thing to say since you're flying and you're not jumping or anything. Yeah. It's a really hard game to place into a genre, but yes, you're flying through the sky, you're doing all these aerial acrobatics. But the Wii version, you know, changed things up with the perspective. There were even levels like where you were, you know, surfing on the water. And that's another thing I think they could do if they brought this back. You know, they could have like a 3D, you know, sort of behind the back perspective. And if they did that, first of all, I think it would look brilliant in 3D. And second, they could use the motion controls, I think, to help steer. And they could really give that sensation of, you know, flying with Knights by adding in those motion controls. So, you know, this is probably like the most unlikely thing to ever happen that, you know, I've talked about on the show. But I do think there is a lot of potential there. And it kind of feels like a missed opportunity for Sega when I think about all the cool things they could have done with Knights on 3DS. But hey, where Nintendo is concerned, you know, seems like almost anything is possible. So yeah, that would be an awesome dream of mine. I think that pun was intended for Nintendo to you know, partner with Sega and make this game come out on 3DS.
Yeah, I'm also surprised that Sonic Mania didn't also get a port for the 3DS. It feels like it should have been ported over.
Yeah, I suppose if they didn't have to cut any corners, that would be really, really awesome now that you mention it. Yeah, that would be really cool.
This conversation has basically just made me very sad. I know that's very pessimistic, but the fact that they almost altogether stopped selling the smaller 3DS and they've gone over to the 2DS, which is cheaper to make, higher profit margins, obviously all about money, and obviously they're selling these to new gamers. If you haven't yet bought a 3DS and you like and play video games, like what were you waiting for? You've definitely missed your opportunity.
Well, they haven't missed the opportunity yet. I mean,
no, you can get a 3DS XL.
Yeah, you can get the system. You can get tons of games on it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the big question is, you know, are there going to be new games down the road? We don't know what the future holds. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love the system. I'd love to see it continue. And I'd love to see some of these ideas actually come to fruition.
Yeah. And I'd love to see a successor.
Yeah.
I don't want the 3DS to go away. And I don't want the 2DS to be the swan song of this platform.
Yeah, I'd love to see another 3D enhanced console. I think we're the minority on that, but yeah, personally, I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, I think that brings this week's big topic to a close, and I suppose we should be wrapping up this episode, but before we go, we do have time for one more thing, and I think you know what that is. It is a dramatic reading. Once again, continuing the adventures of Captain Nintendo from the pages of Nintendo Power Magazine. Previously, an explosion at Nintendo headquarters caused Nintendo employee Brett Randles to gain special powers and become Captain Nintendo, but it also brought Mother Brain and Ganon to life. Luckily, Captain Nintendo used his powers to bring Link into the real world as well, and so now the saga continues. Whoa, cool! Shouted the counselors. Hey, Phil, what kind of controller are you using? Is that in the player's guide? Boots are killer, but the chest needs a star ore, the counselors continued. Philip, as usual, was dumbfounded. Come on, said Captain Nintendo to Link. Ganon's here. We need your help. Without a word, the heroic pair bolted off toward the reception area, where they arrived to find Max, Terra, and Morgana fending off an obstinate Darknut. And to make matters worse, Ganon was beginning to recover. The Mother Brain just brought it here for reinforcements, shouted Terra, noticing the Captain and Link arrive. Emerald says she didn't have to spend any more energy controlling Ganon since he was hurt, so she managed to bring this thing here. Emerald? Inquired Captain. Que pasa, boss? Came a familiar mechanical voice from the reception desk PC. There on the screen was Emerald, and somehow it didn't seem to surprise Brett, considering how quickly Emerald learned what it was capable of accessing. I don't understand any of this, said Max, hitting the Darknut square in the jaw with no effect. Hit him from behind, shouted Captain Nintendo. It's his weak spot.
Oh, boy. Well, there's a gaming tip in there for you. You know, if you're playing A Link to the Past.
That's true.
And you see Darknuts, you're going to have to hit them from behind. They're, you know, they're impervious from the front. It was a different time, folks. It was a different time. You could put three pages of drecky, awfully written comic into your video game.
Well, it's not
game
a comic. It was just a prose story, not a comic.
Wait, oh, there was
and
no...
You could.
There were no drawings to accompany this?
Oh, there were a couple drawings.
Okay.
But for the most part, it was just 3 pages of text.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Three pages?
Yep.
What? But you didn't read it all?
No. This was just like one column.
Oh, my gosh.
Each episode of the show, I only read like one column.
Oh, man.
But I remember, as a kid. We're getting towards the end,
yeah.
You know? You can see they've got Link, they've got Ganon, they've got Mother Brain. This is all going to be coming to a head pretty soon. I'm sure you're waiting with bated breath.
Well, I don't know about you, but as a kid reading Nintendo Power, I preferred to see the ads to like that crap, like fake... The Adventures of Ness, I'll give a pass to, but everything else was anything else
Howard
they threw
Nestor,
in that.
You mean.
Howard and Ness, yeah, Howard and Nestor.
Nestor.
Howard
Good
and Nestor.
Straight man.
I'm sorry.
The fact of the matter is, back in 1989, this Captain Nintendo stuff was not good.
No, it was bad. Oh man.
Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at PowerProsPod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at ChrisTheHoff, and you can find Scott at PlasticBugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, of course, it would be great if you would give us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great Thanksgiving holiday if you celebrate such things. For myself, Scott Michella.
Stick and move.
and our good buddy Don Paulo,
spare me your sappy sympathy.
We will see you next time.